O grace and mercy and peace be yours this night from God our Father and from our newborn Savior Jesus. Amen. You think this ever happened during Mary's pregnancy? During those 9 months or 40 weeks while she was with child and the baby was growing and developing within her womb. You think it ever happened that while she was like out and about and just doing her business and maybe at the marketplace or visiting with friends, you think anybody ever came up to her and was like, Mary, I can tell by the way you're carrying that child. Mary, I think you're going to have a little girl. And she'd be like, no, it's a boy. Or somebody, they always have like the old wives' tales about how you can tell if it's a boy or a girl. Like, well, Mary, I've noticed you've been eating a lot of fruit recently. I've noticed you've been buying and eating more fruit than normal. You know what that means, don't you? And Mary's like, no, what? Well, I think it means you're going to have a little girl. And Mary says, no, it's a boy. Imagine people asked, Mary, have you and Joseph discussed names very much about what you might name your baby? Well, a little bit. His name's Jesus. Yeah, but what if it's a girl? No, it's a boy. His name's Jesus. Yeah, but okay, even if it is a boy, what if you have him and he's born? What if he doesn't look like a Jesus? No, it's a boy. His name's Jesus. And obviously the ultrasound hadn't been invented yet in Mary's day. In our day, we ask, do you know what you're having? That technology wasn't available back in Mary's day. They didn't have the ultrasound. And the ultrasound is an amazing thing. The ultrasound is this remarkable piece of technology. The ultrasound, it shoots out these ultra high frequency sound waves, and those sound waves go out and they bounce off stuff, and then they bounce back to this machine, and this computer instantaneously measures the speed at which those ultra-high frequency sound waves travel, and it knows the speed at which sound travels through different types of tissue and internal organs and bones, and the sound waves travel, and it knows how fast sound travels through stuff, and it bounces off stuff, and it comes back through stuff, and the computer takes those sound waves, and it makes an image that has no business working. That's crazy. It takes sound waves and it makes an image. It gives you a picture to see with your eyes based on sound that goes out. An ultrasound machine gives you a picture based on sound. And as utterly remarkable as that technology is, I'm equally terrible at looking at those pictures. I've seen a few ultrasounds. With that woman. We have 3 children. Our children are 8, 6, and 4. It's been a while, and hopefully we don't see any new ultrasounds for quite a long while. But I have some experience of looking at those images that come to our eyes based on sound. And I can tell you with a high level of confidence, I am very bad at interpreting those images. We'll be sitting in that kind of dark technician room, and the ultrasound technician, she's got her little wand out and the little gel on, and she's moving it around, and she says, oh, do you see that? And I go, oh, he's so precious. He looks just like his mommy. And she goes, Dad, that's his foot. You know, and they continue on with things, and they're doing the measurements and make sure the valves all work, and they're making sure the head's the right size and taking all these measurements, and I'm trying to participate. I got to redeem myself from earlier, and I say, oh, go back there. What was that? That looks like a strong rib cage. He's going to be a strong young man. We're going to play hockey together. And she's like, no, Dad, that's his face. Stop talking, Dan. Just stop talking. And so I blow it there, and I don't have anything to contribute. And then they send you out of the appointment, and they print off a bunch of pictures, you know? Those kind of 2x3 inch or so, little flimsy, like Polaroid kind of feeling pictures of the black and the white, and it's got that kind of oval with it, and there's a bunch of lines and measurements, and they send you home with a stack of these pictures, and you start showing them to your friends, and you show them to your family, and most people, when they see those pictures after the initial, they all have a question, and they want to know, who does he look like? Well, does he look more like mom, or does he look more like dad? Who does he look like? And I'm looking at these pictures. I don't know, this one kind of looks like a fire truck. You know, and this is definitely an alien. And, you know, like this one's, that's a sea creature. So I guess me. And then the big day comes. You know, the day, it finally comes. Our kids all came a little bit early and caught us by surprise, but the big day finally comes, and the baby's there, and the baby's delivered, and for the first time, you actually get to see their face. And you get to look at their features, you get to see their eyes, you get to see them flesh and bone and blood and tissue, and it's, you can reach out and touch. And you can see they're just adorable little face, and inside you're thinking, oh, there you are. There you are. So that's what you look like. There you are. We've been waiting for you. We've been praying for you. We can't wait to get to know you. Oh, we love you. There you are. And years later, if you've saved those ultrasound pictures, years later, you can go back and look at those pictures, and so often it's so obvious. You can look at that picture after the fact, years later, and it's crystal clear. You look at that picture and you say, well, of course that's him. It's got his nose. Well, of course that's him. It's got his ears. Of course, it's so obvious. But at the time, before you had seen that child in the flesh, when all you had was just an image based on sound waves, at the time it wasn't terribly clear. The ultrasound creating an image based on sound, it gave you a glimpse, it gave you a picture of sorts, but it wasn't powerfully predictive. It didn't give you a really clear image of what the child would look like. But once you've seen the child, once you've seen them face to face, once you've seen them in the flesh, then you're able to go back. And when you go back and look again, it's so clear. Now, obviously, in Mary's day, the ultrasound machine hadn't been invented yet. And yet, Mary knew. Mary knew because God spoke to her through the angel Gabriel. And that voice of God, the sound of God that he sent from heaven, it created an image for her. The speaking of God, the words of God, the sound that God sent from heaven, it created in Mary's mind an image of what she could expect while she was expecting. And so Mary knew, because the sound from God's voice created a picture. And so she knew. Now, long before this, for centuries past, for millennia and thousands of years before the birth of Christ, God had been speaking to his people. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. And that word of God, the messages of God, the declarations of God, the announcements and pronouncements of God, those promises of God, the voice of God that came from heaven through the people of God, through the prophets of God, those promises of God created among the people of God an image of what to expect. God's speaking through the centuries gave them a picture of what God would fulfill in the last days. But sort of like looking at an ultrasound image, depending on which way that lab technician angles her magic wand, sometimes you get some strange images. Sometimes, depending on the way that wand is angled, you see things that don't necessarily make sense. And you can't necessarily connect the dots right away. And the people of God, as they looked at those images throughout history, they didn't see fire trucks and aliens and sea creatures, I don't think. But as they heard the word of God and those words and sounds from God created images in their minds, they saw ultrasounds that looked like, well, this one looks like a little boy stepping on a snake. Huh. And they look at the next one and say, well, this one looks like a crown. That's interesting. And they look at the next one, like, that's definitely a farm animal. That's a sheep, maybe a lamb. And they look at the next one, oh, this one looks like somebody's in a lot of pain. And they had all these images based on the sounds and the speaking of God. And those images at the time seemed a bit odd, perhaps. And for most of the history of God's people, they were like that dad sitting in the dark ultrasound room. You know, they were excited to be there, and they knew something was coming, but they were basically clueless about what was going on. See, like an ultrasound, the voice of the Lord and the speaking of God created images for what the people of God could expect. But in the fullness of time, at just the right time, while Quirinius was governor of Syria, those shapes that were in their mind became more concrete. The sounds that they heard from God took on real shape. The mental images took on real, tangible form. And a baby was born. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And that Word of God, the speaking of God, the announcements of God, the promises of God, that eternal voice of God took on flesh. And that speaking of God became a person for the sake of people. The very eternal Word of God, the sound and voice of God, became a real person for the sake of people. And in Jesus, in that Word of God become flesh among us, in Jesus, for the first time, humanity saw the saving face of God. In Jesus, mankind, for the first time, got to behold the saving face of God. And I mean saving face quite literally, the very saving face of God. Now, we use that phrase, saving face, sometimes figuratively, right? Or at least, if we don't use the phrase, we know what the phrase means, saving face. I work really hard at saving face. Perhaps you work hard at saving face. To save face is when something's going to make me look bad, and so I got to spin it. Saving face is when something's wrong, or I'm exposed, or I have a failing or a fault, and I gotta put some makeup on it, I gotta cover it, conceal it, and twist it, and put a new spin on it so that you don't think less of me. And if I do it well, then I become successful at saving face. And sometimes I have to save face because I screwed up and it's my fault, and other times I have to save face because somebody around me has screwed up, but I'm implicated, and so because of their shortcoming, I got to work hard to save face. And I get pretty good at this saving face. Most of us are. You know, we have close friends and family that we maybe let our guard down around, but most circles, most of the time, if things are going to make me look bad, I'm going to work pretty hard to save face. And yet, I'm aware of the fact that despite all the practice I have at saving face, despite how proficient I think I may be, I know I'm not that good. If we're honest with ourselves, people quite regularly see through our efforts at saving face. And as we relate to one another, we kind of have this unspoken social contract. We don't ever name it, but we've got this unspoken rule that I won't talk about the mess in your life if you don't talk about the mess in my life. And I won't call you out on your wrong things as long as you don't call me out on my wrong things. And we both just smile next to each other like we've got it all together and like we're fooling everybody, like we've got it all figured out, and we don't even need to save face because look at our lives. But I think a lot of the time anyway, we're pretty aware of just how fragile that facade actually is. And we'd probably be surprised to actually know how many people see through our efforts at saving face. And the reality is, even if people don't see me, God sees. God sees me. God sees through all my efforts to spin and to put a positive construction on things. God sees through my efforts at saving face. God sees. And yet God sees me. God sees the real me, not just to expose me as the fake that I am. God doesn't turn his face towards me to expose my weak efforts at saving face. Because God's not a watchdog. God's not a referee. God's not just a whistleblower. He's not a tabloid photographer waiting to catch you in your moment of weakness to show the whole world just how phony you are. God is a father who, even though he sees me and he sees the real me, he loves me. God is a father who sees you. He sees the real you, and he loves you, and he sent his son for you. He sent his son in the flesh. The eternal word of God became a person for the sake of people. But Jesus, the eternal son of God, didn't just become a person for the sake of people in general. He became a person for the sake of you, for your sake. So that through Christmas, through an actual manger a long time ago, through a real baby boy who was born, God has a saving face. In Jesus, a real face. Jesus isn't a toy baby. We don't have a real baby up here sleeping, in case you're wondering. Why is he so loud? He's gonna wake the baby. Jesus isn't a plastic baby. Jesus isn't a philosophy. Jesus isn't an ideal. Jesus isn't a swear alert word. Jesus isn't a religious teaching. Jesus is a person, like an actual person, like a real person, a real flesh and blood person with a real physical face, like a real face. I don't know if you thought about that. Jesus has a face. An actual physical identifiable, his own face. And I don't know what he looks like. I don't know. I imagine we each have different ideas of what Jesus might look like. We've probably all got kind of notions of, I bet he's going to look like this. I bet we're going to be surprised. Whatever his face looks like, it's his face. Like he has an actual physical, fleshly face. The saving face of God. My favorite Christmas hymn is an obscure one. It was written about 400 AD, a long time ago. It's a hymn called Of the Father's Love Begotten. And we're not going to sing it tonight because it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard to sing. But that old hymn, 1700 years old, in the second verse of that hymn, it's got this beautiful line. It goes like this. It goes, oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race, and the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face. Evermore and evermore. Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race, and the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face, his saving face. Kind of one of those, oh, there you are. Oh, there you are. That's what you look like. Oh, we've been waiting for you. We've been praying for you. Oh, there you are. We love you. And we can't help but wonder in that moment, you know, what did Mary think about all this? What did Mary know about all this? You know, we asked Mary, did you know, right? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. In Jesus, the very saving face of God is made known to us. His face is the saving face of God. And in that physical, fleshly, saving face of Jesus, the heart of God the Father is made known. And from everything that Jesus did throughout his life, from the angels bringing good news to Jesus' teaching and his compassionate healing to his dying and to his rising, Jesus in his flesh and that physical saving face, Jesus showed us the heart of the Father. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. His face is the very saving face. This is what saving face is. Saving face is not my effort or your effort to fool other people around us. Saving face is not convincing the people around us that we're better than we are or not as bad as they think we might be. Saving face is the physical and fleshly fulfillment of what God spoke for centuries past. The Word became flesh. In Jesus, God has a face, and it's not an angry face. It's not a disappointed face. It's the face of a loving father that holds his newborn child and says, oh, there you are. That's what God is saying tonight. He looks at you. Those who are born again through faith in Jesus, God looks at you and he says, oh, there you are. To which I say thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.